So maybe the liberal thing, I'm kidding. I don't know where that came in, came out. But I am from a group. Well, it's even the group that's now, and they like to make fun of people who sat down when they were preaching. And I don't know why, but anyway, I get tired. I like sitting down. Most of you are already asleep. I figured if you're asleep, I can sit. And I'm kidding. I just, as I go through therapy, standing for a long period of time, just not possible right now. So, but I will do that. And I am glad that you're here this morning. We're back in 2 Timothy, And I want to help us. We have picked this year for our theme, the theme of committed. And some of you are going, I know some people that need to be committed. I'm not talking about that. By the way, anybody know anybody needs to be committed? My neighbor. We're not talking about that. We're not going to harp on do this. I'm not exactly talking about that kind of commitment. Really a biblical sense of some things here. And so I want to help us with that idea. Excuse me, this morning, all of you that are watching, I didn't greet you. Thank you for watching. And we have just, any Sunday, we'll have hundreds of people watch these videos, and a lot of them share them. We're very thankful about that. And so we thank you for that. If you have not taken opportunity to look and download the app, the sermon is on the app, and you can look at that. Pardon me, you can look at that and see where that is, and you can fill in the notes there. That's HardinValleyChurch.com/app. And I think I'm good back there, Mr. Sam. Appreciate that. So I want to help us this morning being committed to the gospel. And I'm going to do a little flyover here. I hate doing this, but I said it a minute ago, it's a great casserole or buffet, and I'm really going to pick up just one thing from it. Otherwise, we'd be here for about 6 messages. So if you'll just allow me, in context, to pick up that theme, I think it will be a help to us. And so I want to help us today be committed to the gospel. Read that verse with me one more time here, verse number 12, and then we're going to be a little bit in chapter 2, but I promise I'm going to do my best to be right on it. And so young folks, a lot of you are already disjointed here. I'll let this be my only warning to you. If you're goofing off, I can't come to you, but I can throw stuff at you. And if I miss you, I'll get other people who are asleep, and so there's going to be a lot of trouble. Stay with me here, and I'll appreciate it. Look at verse 12. For the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm not timid. I'm not bashful. For I know, underline and highlight that, whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he, that is Christ, is able to keep what I have committed to him that day. Because of that commitment, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words of Scripture, which you've heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Pray with me one more time. Father, as I knew a few weeks ago, and as I realize again this morning, I'm insufficient. Lord, when I was perfectly healthy, I was insufficient. I'm sure insufficient today. And so our folks and those online will listen on purpose. Lord, my voice is not as mellifluous as it normally could be. And so I pray I'd speak clearly. I pray I'd enunciate well. But I pray I wouldn't focus on my shortcomings. But Lord, I pray I'd be very, very much enamored with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray today that from front to back and left to right, for our guests, to the folks that are watching online in other states, to those who will pick this sermon up who are out of town today, Father, you would help us to have our heart beat. This is our commitment. This is our commitment to you. And we hold the gospel in high esteem. And that is the thing that not only unites us, but excites us. And we are committed to it. We are committed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. And Lord, I ask that you get all the honor and the glory. Holy Spirit, would you convict us and draw us close to you? Unite us in the gospel, I pray, in your Son's precious name. And amen. And amen. My wife for many years was at the former church where we served at. When I was a professor at a Christian college, she worked at a local church and a good-sized church, and she was one of the secretaries for a couple of the pastors, and she had a little tagline she would put on emails, and the tagline went something like that. And supposedly the scene is a chicken and a pig are talking, and they're like, hey, the farmer wants a breakfast, and so I'm going to send some eggs to the chicken, but he would like some bacon. And how about it, Mr. Pig? And the pig says, for you, that's a contribution. For me to provide some bacon, that's some commitment. And so some of you will get that in a minute as soon as you get the thing about the five Johns. And when we talk about commitment sometimes I think we talk about, hey, you know, I got some eggs here, some of those things. Sometimes we talk about sacrifice and commitment, but none of us really like either one of those things. Truth of the matter is, we talk about commitment. Sometimes we get a little iffy, right? Anybody ever made a commitment and you went, man, I wish I hadn't made that commitment? Anybody besides me? Andre and I joke, we hadn't joked this year, but we joked previous years. January, you can't get in the gym. You just cannot get in the gym. Anybody ever notice that? Can't get in the gym. Everybody's wearing new clothes. Nobody knows how to operate anything. And nobody knows how to wipe anything off. They get off things sweating and all this. And I just want to walk up to them with a spray bottle and go, here, wipe it off, you filthy animal. But I don't do that. But in February, guess what happens to the gymnasium? It's empty. It's empty. It's just people who are just there. And everybody else has signed the 12-month commitment or whatever. And they're at home eating Oreos and bonbons. I don't know what they're doing, but they're not at the gym. So we have a little... we have a little fun with that. When we talk about being committed to the gospel, we talk about the idea of being committed here. Excuse me, what are we talking about? So let me help you here with a couple things I think will be a good idea for you. Give me just either monitor or sounds or speakers. I don't know what I need back there, Mike. I need one of the two. So it's not their problem. It's my ears right now. So let me help you with a couple things. I want to, 1, 2, 3, give you some ideas about this, if you'll stay with me. Can you stay with me? And I'm going to talk a little faster because I have some of you are already kind of revving down. Let me give me the theme here. Because we've been changed by the gospel, I believe we should be committed to the gospel. Because we've been changed by the gospel, we should be committed to the gospel. So who am I talking to this morning? I'm talking to, I believe, who I consider believers. And Timothy, Paul's writing to this church at Ephesus. He's writing to this pastor, this man named Timothy, and he's talking to him about being committed. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be committed to the gospel? Why should we do this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, the gospel was committed to us. The gospel was committed to us. How many of you in here this morning? Somebody was a person that told you about Jesus Christ. Anybody was a person that told you about Jesus Christ? Wave at me, nod at me. How many of you was a service? You were in a service and God got a hold of your heart and that's when you came to Christ. Anybody like that? A few of you? That means, by and large, most of you in here are not converted. I mean, if you're like, preacher, you can't ask me to write down something, then ask me to raise my hand. I'm sorry. Most people, man, there was somebody in their lives. It may have been a parent, grandparent, might have been a pastor, a youth pastor, or might have been a service, or a combination of those things. But at some point, somebody got you the gospel. Somebody told you what it meant that you were an awful, dirty, low-down, good-for-nothing, rotten sinner. Say, that's the gospel. That's part of the gospel. Somebody say amen to that, by the way. It's hard to ever figure out that you need the gospel message if you haven't figured out that you are standing ashamed and condemned and awful and guilty in front of a holy, righteous God. I was reading the other day, and I don't want to be controversial, so I'll leave out the athlete's name, but a famous athlete went on a pretty popular show and just talked about the fact that he just couldn't believe in a God of the Bible who basically, he was saying, would hold people accountable for their sin. And I wanted to say, man, if I could meet you and talk to you, I would ask you, what kind of a God would you believe in who doesn't hold people accountable for their sin? What kind of a God lets a Hitler slide by? What kind of a God lets genocidal maniacs go by? What kind of a God, in any kind of fairness, in any kind of justice, lets the guilty go free? By the way, and if you have a lot of problem with that, let me encourage you, what kind of loving God would punish his son for your sins and for mine? See, I have more trouble with that than I do with God being holy and just, because I know I deserve the penalty. Somebody say amen to that. I deserve what's coming to me, but I don't deserve what Jesus purchased on the cross of Christ for me. And somebody told you sometime that you were an awful, terrible, no good, dirty, rotten, low down, good for nothing sinner. The gospel was committed to you. The gospel was given to you by others. The gospel was from Jesus Christ. From Jesus Christ. I had an occasion some years ago. I just started to run this idea down. There's a couple of ways it's mentioned. Not a couple of ways. There's about six or seven different words used for this idea in the New Testament. I thought, well, I'll just run them all down. When I got to about my 49th, I'm not really exaggerating, when I got to my 49th page of notes, I figured, you know what? I'm never going to finish this. This idea of what Jesus did for us, what he did for the church, what he did on the cross, what he did to justify me, what he did to make me holy and acceptable in the beloved, what he did for my salvation, what he did and all these things. It's all about Jesus Christ. Somebody has asked me several times, hey, preacher, why don't you talk more about your sickness? And I really get that a lot, to be honest with you. And I haven't written anything lately. I need to, but I'm sick. That's it. I got treatment next week. I got some more after that. I got a scan into February. I got some radiation in March, but you know, nothing that really exciting about that. But King Jesus, he's really exciting. Somebody say amen to that. And he's the one who provided life and hope and health and all these things. And if my body's war slammed out, I'm all right, because I've got a new body promised to me because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a dear brother, dear friend, who similar diagnoses about a month and a half ago. They told him they couldn't do anything for him, so he's elected no treatment. And he's telling his people today at his church that he's just going to ride it out. Best guess is 18 months. He texted me last night, and I prayed for him and prayed with him. And I have a dear brother, pastor of the church, 8900 in Alabama, and he's up here in Nashville right now, second round of cancer, and he's in isolation doing a complete transplant, and he has developed a fever. And the preacher, why don't you talk about it more? Because the reality is I don't really have it that bad. I'm here in church preaching to you. I've only missed about 6 or 7 weeks out of the whole illness, and I'm just as happy as if I had good sense. God is still in charge, and he didn't go, whoops, Rodney's got cancer. And he didn't go, man, I made a mistake. He didn't do any of those things. He's taking good care of me, and he loves me. And if I live, I live, and if I perish, I perish. But blessed be the name of the Lord, because he's the king, and the gospel message is from Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen if you would. And it is to change us. The gospel is to change. The gospel was given to us to change us, Look at verse number 9, if you would. You still with me? Say amen. Anybody still with me? Amen. Look at verse 9. Who has saved us and called us for the holy calling. not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his grace. I like what the old African-American preacher said. It's not good English, but it's pretty good theology. If you is what you was, then you ain't. Somebody say amen. It may be incremental change, but there's change in your life. There's change in your life. We miss some of these things sometimes. We really do. And not everyone, Jesus said, not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Ray Comfort has a famous message. I'll let you look it up online. Hell's best kept secret. He's preached it all over the United States, different English-speaking countries throughout the world. Little booklet. It's a MP3. I would encourage you to grab a hold of it. He says it very, he's got the message really down. It's really purposeful. And we use some of his material in our witnessing here because of that. But I would encourage you, God has saved you, and he is making you like his dear son. He's given you his Holy Spirit. And there is to be that fruit of life change that is there. It's one of the reasons we don't say Christians very much in our church. We say Christ followers. We say followers of Christ because there ought to be some difference in your life. You say perfection, that's for later. But I am saying life change. He has called you with a holy calling. He's called you with a holy calling. He's called you this way to change your life. Secondly, there, we should be committed to the gospel. The gospel was committed to us, and we should be committed to it. Look at verse number 12, if you would. And I apologize. Some of you have coffee. Some of you don't have coffee. But nobody has my coffee, which is in front of me here. So I have started drinking tea as well. So if I start preaching with a poor English accent, that's what's coming there. We should be committed to the gospel. Look at verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. He says affliction, which is a really strong word, and I really translated that way in English. Then he says suffer. Most of the time we talk about the gospel and being saved or coming to Christ, being a Christ follower, we talk about all the blessings. Paul says, hey, this has brought me affliction and has brought me suffering. Nevertheless, I am not going to be timid. I am not going to hide it. My poor, pathetic Tar Heels this year, and I mean pathetic, I don't even think they're even yet. I don't think they won 500 of their games. But I continue to wear my hat and my mask, and I continue to have the stuff on my car because I am not ashamed. I am really, really disappointed. Unbelievably so. But I say that with a smile on my face. It's amazing how we shirk from opportunities to take a stand for Jesus. I suggest to you we should be committed to his gospel. Why should we be committed? He says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him that day. God is faithful when I am not. Therefore what? Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words, which you've heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, the good thing, that is the gospel which was committed in thee, keep by the Holy Spirit, which dwells in us. We should be committed to the person of the gospel. He says, whom? And then he says, he. He's talking about Jesus. I'm amazed sometimes how often we forget that the gospel is all about Jesus. Let me help you. And that the church should all be about Jesus, and our lives should all be about Jesus, and the Bible is all about Jesus. We should be committed to the person of the gospel. Every now and then somebody will go, well, I'm upset with you. I had somebody before Christmas and just really lose their nut and send me long, crazy, rambling, Unabomber kind of email. And I know some of you don't believe that I get these things. I know some of you can't believe anybody would ever be upset with me. Some of you, I would. I could be upset with you. Please, you called me liberal last time. Don't do it again today. But I every now and then, and I'll glance at it. I used to read it and dissect it, and I don't do that anymore. Look right here, everybody. I say that. I will read it and all, but if I get the impression after a while, you know, somebody wrote it at 3 a.m., I just figure they were just having a bad day. But I go, man, they're not mad with me. They're just not happy with Jesus. They figure they'll just take it out on me. I had a guy call me and just lay me out. He says, all you ever talk about is getting married. And I'm like, well, I'm in favor of it. I've been married 23 years. I like it. And no. Every time we come, you talk about getting married. I go, man, I ain't seen you twice in a year. I don't think you're mad with me. I think you're mad with the Holy Spirit, you know. You just line up the messages and knocking your head. To be honest with you, I forgot you weren't married. And how many of you, I'm not always up to speed on what's going on in your life. And nod your head if you believe that, about the pastor. And I said, man, I the Bible and all this. I said, well, you keep preaching on the woman at the well. I said, God changed your life. When don't you want God to change your life? God changed your life. And he kept on. I'm like, man, you're not mad at me. You're mad at Jesus. You're mad at Jesus who wants to change people's lives. And I'm just using that as an illustration here this morning. God wants to what? God wants to save us. We should be committed to him. We should be committed to the person of the gospel and the problem of the gospel. The fact that I said, man, without Christ, you're dirty, rotten, low good, no down sinner is offensive to some people. Let me help you. It's offensive. It should be offensive to all people. The gospel is offensive. Somebody says, man, everybody loves Jesus. This is not true. Jesus portrayed as he is in the Bible is offensive. By me, all men shall be offended. In me, all men shall be offended because of your witness. Jesus said, blessed are you when all men shall revile you and hate you and persecute you for my name's sake. There is a large problem with the gospel that comes. That problem is suffering. That problem is affliction. Andre and I have laughed when we lived in North Carolina. Our neighbors all around us, we invited them to church. We tried to get them to come with us. Talked to them about the Lord. And I said, man, I know they think we're part of a cult. You know, we leave every Sunday morning. We had service on Sunday night, Wednesday night. And every time they see us, you know, we're looking nice and getting in the car and we're all going. I'm thinking, man, they're just thinking we're just as crazy as we can be. There is a problem that comes with the gospel. If you're going to take a stand for Jesus at work, you might as well figure it out. Man, there's going to be trouble. Some of you over Thanksgiving and Christmas, you bowed your head and prayed in Jesus' name. That was offensive. Some of you have family and they don't know Christ. And it's a wedge right now in your heart and your family because you're praying for them to get right with God. There's a problem that comes with the gospel. If you say that Jesus is the only way to be right with God, that is offensive. Somebody say amen if you understand what I'm saying here. Say it's not offensive in the Bible Belt. It's offensive. 40,000 people, give or take, live within 10 minutes of this building. Some of you drove past house after house and neighborhood after neighborhood and every car still in their driveway. It's offensive. There's a problem that comes with the gospel, and that is suffering. That is affliction. And then we should commit the gospel to others. I kept turning the phrase. I said the gospel was committed to us. I said that we should be committed to the gospel. And we should commit the gospel to others. Pardon me. I almost blew my nose in the microphone. And I caught myself. I did that in November before I got sick. And I about gave one of you a heart attack. You know who you are. But I caught myself. So you just be glad. Younger Rodney would have done it and wouldn't have thought anything about it. So, some of you are like, do it. Must have been Mr. Glassby. I think it was him. Let me time out. If you have the same conversation with me in about 2 or 3 week time, I promise you, it's chemo brain. I had somebody correct me earlier in the week. They stopped me and they said, preacher, you already told me this. I went, okay, did I do a better job this time? And so forgive me if I do that to you. Or if you tell me something, I kind of look at you or I pass you off to Andrea. I'm not being ugly. I just you got almost no shot with me, but you have a much better shot with her or with Riley. So. But it must have been Brandon yesterday. He was asking me about somebody from earlier last year. He's like, well, what happened? And I said, I don't know everything. They won't talk to me. Look right here. I said, but I can tell you how it normally happens. I said, usually we pay attention to attendance. People start missing Sunday school, the Bible hour. They start missing the morning service. They were making an extra effort to be here on Wednesday night for prayer meeting, for the Bible study. I said, usually those start trimming off. I said, but in my mind, that's not when the problem happens. I said, long before attendance lags, people will keep coming and just be miserable. They just keep coming just to get their blood up, be angry. Long before that happens, I said, they closed their Bible and they didn't pick it back up. I said, and they closed their wallet. I said, and they stopped praying. I said, you can mark it down. Not all three, but I can with almost certainty tell you they got out of the habit of some daily quiet time with the Lord and some daily prayer time, and then everything else started atrophying, and they got real comfortable, missing service, and then all of a sudden they got real comfortable being really cold-hearted. And there's a lack of commitment to the gospel. Let me help you. And people move churches for other reasons. I'm not saying that is the only reason. I'm not remotely saying that. I'm just simply saying a lot of situations, that's where it is. Because there's a lack of commitment to the person of the gospel. People just say foolish things, I think, sometimes to me. No, nobody in here, I promise, it's folks outside of our circle, outside of us, our family here, church family. And they'll pat me on the head or stuff like that. I just don't want it. I don't, you've done really good with this. And I'm going, I really haven't. Well, it looks like you have. I'm like, and you've seen me for 30 minutes in 5 months. I don't, that's no way to make an observation. That's what I want to say, but I just thank you. They're being kind. I know what they're doing. I don't want any crowns on my head. For one reason, I don't have any hair. I don't want any crowns on my head. I want, and if you want to brag, brag on Jesus. If you want to brag, brag on him. Man, isn't God good? Now I'm with you. Isn't he wonderful to have saved us? Now I'm with you. I'm subscribing to your newsletter. I will listen to your podcast. Man, isn't it wonderful that he gave us the Bible? Now I'm all in. I'm buying you a T-bone steak. Now we got somewhere, amen? But just sitting there patting each other on the head, I'm not as interested in. Somebody say amen to that, right? Man, it'd be the person of the gospel. Then we should commit the gospel to others. For 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at those verses there, verse 1 and 2. Some of you are going, don't encourage the pastor to check. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying it should be focused. We should focus on him. Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things you've heard about me among many witnesses. The same commit. The word commits used three times in chapter 1 and chapter 2. All derivations off the same really Greek word. One's the actual word and others in different tense ones, and then the final one's in a middle kind of a tense there, and it's a different idea. The first occurrence we had, it's used in the idea of a deposit. I am giving you something precious here, and so when Paul says I know whom I've believed in and committed, he will guard the precious thing of my faith that I've given to him. The next commit that is there is really the same idea. And then here, it is the idea of precious truth. And it's the idea of a teacher I have something tremendous to tell you. And I want you to get it in such a way that you can give that to someone else. In our vernacular, it would be master and apprentice. And the apprentice is trying to become the master, and one of the ways he'll do that is that he finds another apprentice. If you want to put it really in 2020 kind of vernacular for here, it's what we've done quite a bit with our one-on-one. Do you have any regrets the last few months? Yeah, our one-on-one stuff just fell off. It had to. I'm not mad. What I've asked God in the middle of the night over and over, God help us, because we've got to fulfill 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We've got to find faithful people and teach them so they can go and find other faithful people. We've got to make sure that the gospel is generational. We've got to make sure that we just don't have people who come and they get a little bit of a top off for the week, and then they go out and there's nobody praying for them. There's nobody working in them. And Andre and I have talked, and maybe we can do some midweek lunches, and maybe we can have, you know, ladies' Bible study for people who can't come on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Maybe we can figure out how to have a 75-minute lunch, and maybe we can do that with some of you guys. We just got to do this. We have got to get in the Word, and the Word in us, excuse me, and let it change our lives. We have got to do this. We have got to commit the gospel to others. Ken Ham, in his book, Already Gone, says that in the larger churches, 80%, and again, 1,000 or more churches in attendance, 80% of young people, when they hit 18, leave the church till age 25 to 27. Not 80% come back. It's a smaller percentage. About 30% will come back. That leaves almost 50% of young people grow up in large mega church situations. When they leave the church, they leave for good. And he says they're already gone because they've never gotten the gospel in their hearts, and nobody's ever poured the gospel in them and helped them understand why it's important. It doesn't scale the same in a church 100 to 150, but it's still a pretty good percentage. Let me help you. If we catch that in young people, God help us, we ought to catch that when some of us got a couple of years on us. And we have got to pour in each other's lives. See, preacher, I'd have rather you beat us in the head with guilt. No, no, no. Man, I want to be committed. I want to make sure that I'm pouring into somebody, and somebody's pouring into me. I want to make sure that somebody knows they're being prayed for. I want to make sure that somebody's expecting me to learn a Bible verse this month. I want to make sure that somebody's asking me to do that. And man, we're going to grow together. We should tell people about Jesus. That's evangelism. We should train other people to follow Jesus. That's discipleship. Let me help you. I think we should be committed to Him. If you believe that and agree with that, would you say amen this morning? We should be committed to Him. I think we ought to be committed to His church. It's His church. It's not mine. It's not really ours in that sense. It's His church. It's His idea. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. I'm okay with Him building His church. He's going to do a much better job of it than I will. We should be committed to the church, excuse me, to Him, to His church, and I would encourage you to be committed to this church. This is where God wants you to hang your hat and be here. Be here. Have fun. Jump in. Say, you know, I've never done anything like the journey thing. I don't know I can do it in 90 days, but I'm going to give it a good shot. I want to get the panorama of the New Testament. I'd love to see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'd love to see the Acts of the local church. I'd love to see all those letters we call the epistles. And I'd like to figure out what in the world exactly is going on in Revelation. That seemed like it'd be an interesting thing. I'm good to go. I waste 30 minutes looking at Instagram and TikTok and passing out conspiracy theories on Facebook. I can spend 15, 20 minutes in the Word every day. I think I can do that. I think I'd like to do that. I'd be glad to do that. I'd like that. Say, I don't want to do something that big. We've got other devotional guys out there for you. I'm okay. I want to be in there. You know, I don't know I can do everything on there, back table, but I might be interested in several things. I can come out of here. I can come out here with another somebody, and I can knock all these bugs out of the lights. I can come out here and spray. Mike's going to fix things, and Lester's going to fix things. I can come out there and at least bring them a Diet Coke, and I can do that. I like to decorate. I can come out here. I can make everything look pretty. I can make the preacher look pretty. You can do that. I have extra cashews for you. I got some technical skills. I want to be involved. Not because we have great need, look at me. Because we have a great Savior. I'm committed. The gospel was committed to me. I'm done in 30 seconds if you'll listen. Gospel changed my family's life. Somebody gave the gospel to me. Somebody gave the gospel to my brother when he was in seventh grade. I rode a church bus for a while my parents weren't in church. Somebody picked me up on Sunday night and Wednesday night. God let me go from there till I actually went and picked up kids. They gave me a 40-passenger bus, an adult to drive it, and told me to fill it up. Every now and then we'd fill it up halfway, fill it up once and a half. Came in one time about 60 kids. We had them stacked on top of each other. Everybody's said, man, was that exciting? Well, it was exciting seeing them come to Jesus. Young lady used to ride our bus, pastor's wife. Now I got going on. I'm going to get detoured. Gospel came to our family, changed our life. The person of Christ is the center of that gospel, and he's precious to me. He's precious to you this morning. And I think everybody whose house I drove past on the way here needs to know about King Jesus. And I think everybody in here who knows about King Jesus, I think you need to know more about the gospel. I think you need to get grounded in the root and rooted in the faith. I think you need to get grounded and rooted in the faith so much that you can help somebody else get grounded and rooted in the faith. I think people walking with God, let me help you here, I think they have better marriages. I think they have better families. I don't think it always works out exactly right. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying God wants you to know that He cares about you and your family. I think there's some of you in here right now, you need to get back to praying for people that you love who need Jesus desperately. Because I'm to commit the gospel to them just like it was given to me. So what kind of church you want to have this year, preacher? I want to have a church that's committed to the gospel. I want to be committed to Him. I want to be committed to His church. And I want to put my feet down and roll up my shirt sleeves. And I want to be committed to what God's doing here in this church. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed just for a moment. Invitation's simple. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and there's been a point in time in your life where you said, God, I'm a sinner. And I understand it's not my works, not the fact that I've been baptized or confirmed, not the fact that somebody somewhere told me I was a good boy or a good girl. There was a time in my life where I understood who Jesus was and what He did for me and what I couldn't do for myself. And I asked Him to change my life. And I know, not with perfection, but with progress, that there's been a change of life. And this morning, I know that I'm a follower of Christ. I raised my hand this morning to say that.